Jake, come up with a capital idea. Part 6 of the Pet Stuck series. Written by Layla. Read by Opalsong. Good golly, this is exciting. Your truck bounces and rattles up the narrow dirt road towards the turnoff, the morning sun glinting off your rear view. You've been looking forward to this opportunity all month, ever since you contacted the university about the site you found. And even more so, once they got back to you to let you know that it was significant enough to investigate further. A lost piece of frontier history! And now you get to go visit and see what the experts are uncovering. You do hope you'll have time to poke around a good deal before the sun drops behind the mountains. You pull in at the little washout on the side of the road that's become the staging area for the excavation. There are two university vans parked there, and also a truck from the local troll welfare department. What are they doing here? Well, the best way to find out is to go looking. You grab your hat off the passenger seat, pocket your keys, and set off up the rocky incline into the woods. You've come up this way a few times before. You go hiking and climbing pretty much anywhere that isn't posted no trespassing. And occasionally places that are, even though Jane tries to discourage you. It's so hard to turn away from a challenging cliff face. You know the trails the mule deer use, and you keep a sharp, hopeful, eye out for cougars. And you watch your footing, even though you have good boots on, because you can't be too careful of rattlers when the weather is warm. You follow the path the excavation team marked on their way in. Little pink tape flags on the black bark of pine trees, lurid enough to be visible in all sorts of weather. Already, the trail is considerably more obvious than it was the first time you made your way out here. And they haven't even been on the site for long. It's amazing how much of an effect humans can have on their environment sometimes. When you reach the site, the university types are talking to the troll welfare chap, a serious fellow in a khaki uniform, holding a rifle. Heavens, you say. Is there a fugitive on the loose? The fellow gives you a grim nod, and the woman in charge of the excavation, Dr. Markey, if you're remembering correctly, tells you, the site has been disturbed, and there are marks indicating we probably have a feral troll on the loose. Or, God forbid, a pack of them. The troll welfare fellow shakes his head. Doubt it's more than one, he says. The leavings we've seen are consistent with a lone female defining her territory. Just have to see if we can flush her out. Might need to bring dogs for that. But sometimes they come quietly if they haven't been out here long. They realize it's not all fun and games being out here where nobody feeds you and there are bigger predators to worry about. You try to curb your excitement. You've seen trolls before, of course, but there's something about the word feral that makes this sound like a frightful adventure. She should be slow right now, sleeping, if we're lucky, the troll welfare fellow goes on. When they go feral, they tend to go back to a mostly nocturnal pattern pretty fast. Look for her where there's shelter, cover from the sun, and if you think you see her, don't get close. She may want to defend her territory, and even if she doesn't, she could still do plenty of harm just trying to run. Let me be the one to actually handle her. You nod, already scanning the site, wondering what this wild troll is like. Where did she come from? Is she entirely wild, or does she know how to speak like a human? What led her to come up here? The site is ruins of an old frontier fort, as best you could tell, detritus of a lost group of settlers who met an obscure and tragic end. You'd think there must be better shelter to be found elsewhere nearby. Caves in the mountains that would keep her safe more thoroughly than the rotting remains of a long fallen palisade. The five of you, you, the troll welfare chap, and the three members of the university team, spread out across the site. It's probably not so large, as these things go, but you're still impressed with it. Between the sparse trees, you can make out the remains of the fortress wall, and there are hollows in the ground that would have been cellars when the buildings were still standing. A lot of the site is overgrown with scrub brush and young trees. You ask yourself, if I were a small nocturnal predator looking to den here, where would I hide? You make your way through the brush, looking for hollows that would provide protection from the sun or from casual passers-by. No luck in the first one, or the second. But the third time, you peer into the shadows under a slump of collapsed rocks, and the grays and browns resolve into a living shape. Bare limbs, body covered in furs, a sort of makeshift hood where her brightly colored horns would give her away. You take a sharp breath, your heart pounding. The troll's eyes snap open and fix straight on you. Egg yolk yellow and rust red. She has her limbs coiled under her in an instant, already diving past you by the time you can yell for help. The hood flies back as she darts away. Her hair is a tangle of long black braids, and her horns curl like a ram's. She's quick and agile, but when the welfare fellow's tranquilizer gun cracks, she still stumbles. You can see her trying to reach the dart in her shoulder while she's still running. But she fumbles, her steps slowing. And before she's made it past the fort wall, she's collapsed in a little heap. Your heart is in your throat. You think you might have wanted her to escape in the heat of the moment. The welfare fellow is barking some nonsense at you about being careful as you walk towards the troll. She's out cold, no threat to anyone at the moment, and you want a better look. She's a lovely little thing. She'd probably come up about to your shoulder, standing, and her bone structure has this kind of spareness to it that puts you in mind of a cheetah or a greyhound. She has broad cheekbones with hollows under them that you suspect are a sign of hunger, and your heart aches for her, wild and alone out here. The welfare fellow gets close enough to examine her, rolling her onto her back and prying an eyelid open, and you discover that she's belted her furs on with a scrap of red mountain climbing rope and decorated the belt by hanging skulls from it. You can scarcely believe she's real. "Nice clean capture, just the way we like them," the welfare fellow says. He shoulders his rifle and picks up the troll. She looks tiny in his arms. "I'll just be getting this little troublemaker back to town, then. Good luck with your digs. We'll probably hear all about it in the paper, won't we?"
"I certainly hope so," Dr. Markey says. "And thank you for coming out on such short notice. It'll make our jobs a lot easier, not having to worry about stumbling over an angry troll."
The welfare chap takes his charge off down the trail. And you must admit, you're a bit sorry to see him go so soon. You can practically hear Jane scolding you for your irresponsibility. But it would have been exciting to have it be trickier to find the troll. Still, there are all sorts of archaeological excitements to be had at the site, and soon enough you're engrossed in them, as Dr. Markey sketches out for you how the fort would have run, and what the remaining artifacts have to say about the men who built it. And then, a few minutes later, the fellow trudges back into the clearing, with the troll nowhere to be seen.
"Oh dear," Dr. Markey says, sounding far more distressed than you feel. "Don't tell me she's escaped."
"No, ma'am," the welfare fellow says. "She's snug in the back of the truck, out like a light. Fan belt's busted, though, and I can't get any damn reception up here to call for help."
"Then allow me to offer my assistance," you say. "I can give you a lift back to town."
The fellow frowns a bit.
"Even with the troll?" he asks.
"Don't want to leave her in the back of the truck long enough for me to head down to town and back again. Not with the way it's heating up already."
"No, certainly not," you agree. "That would be inhumane. We could buckle her up in the cab of my truck, couldn't we? There's room."
"Could do," the
the fellow agrees, nodding slowly, and I'd much appreciate it.
Think nothing of it, you say. Lead the way, sir.
So he does. You trek back to the road, and he removes the troll from the cage in the back of his truck, bundling her into the cab of yours. He puts cuffs on her, wrist and ankle, in case of trouble, and you buckle her in. She seems much younger when she's unconscious. She's the size of a human child, and when she's not alert, it's easy to see that resemblance instead of her own wildness. Once she's secured, the welfare fellow fetches his gear, and you pile into the truck yourselves. Windows cranked down to let the air in, because, golly, it is going to be a scorcher today. You're sure glad you were around to help out. The troll stirs and starts to wake up before you're halfway down the mountain. She makes a little mewling noise at first, twisting and squirming in her seat. You're a bit worried about that, bracing yourself in case she tries to shove you while you're driving. But when she wakes up all the way, she goes still instead of moving more. She sits up a little straighter. When you glance over, she's squinting against the sunlight, but she smiles brightly at you when she catches your eye. "Hi," she says. "If I ask where we're going, I'm going to be sorry, aren't I?" You are utterly flummoxed, tongue-tied, trying to decide what to say. You feel like you should apologize, good grief. And the troll welfare chap says, "Just into town. Do you have somebody who will be missing you?" She's chewing on her lip when you spare her another glance. There isn't a terribly good answer to that, is there? If I say yes, you'll ship me back to somebody that I clearly didn't stick with. If I say no, you'll dump me in a cage somewhere so I can wait around for some other human to decide to take me home.
Easiest if you tell the truth to start with, the fellow says. Not here to make this hard for you, but you can't just be running around wild in someone's woods.
Drat, the troll says with feeling. It's one of the most charming things you've ever heard. Her exasperated sigh is right up there, too. No, I don't have a human anymore, she says. He took me up in the mountains with him last fall. It was supposed to be a camping trip, but there was an accident. He fell.
Good gravy, that's terrible, you say. Must have been frightening.
It was at first, she says. Then I figured out how to hunt and find decent shelter and so on, and it got a lot easier.
You're grinning a bit at that. Like a troll version of Robinson Crusoe, you say. Or my side of the mountain, I suppose. Did your owner have you chipped? The welfare fellow asks. He doesn't seem nearly so thrilled by the idea of her adventures as you are. She scrunches down in the seat.
Yes, she says.
We'll look him up then. We always get a few mishaps in outdoor season. And, wait, the fellow stops for a moment. Last fall, You remember that guy they had to have a manhunt for? What was his name?
You raise an eyebrow, glancing over at him, over the troll's head, even though you're going round a curve.
I can't remember his name for the life of me, but I know the one you mean, you say. Brought in helicopters and police dogs and so forth. Too late when they found him, though.
The troll covers her mouth with her cuffed hands, so you can't rightly see what face she's making. Her eyes are very wide.
I'm sorry, you say to her. Even if she didn't like the chap, that was a fairly beastly way of breaking the news. That was frightfully insensitive of me. You glance at the welfare fellow. What happens to a troll who's lost her human, anyway?
Once we've confirmed it, she goes into shelter custody, the fellow says. We'll make sure her shots are up to date, probably give her a bath.
You think he's grimacing at that bit.
And see if we can find her a new home. She's young, and she's pretty under all that grime, so it shouldn't be too hard.
She's also sinking progressively further into the seat as the explanation goes on.
She doesn't seem excited by the prospect of going back to civilization at all.
To be fair, you think, you never liked being dragged home from adventures for the sake of a bath, either.
Or, she says abruptly, seizing your sleeve, I could go with you.
What?
You say, because that's awfully sudden. And perhaps you stamp on the brake a bit harder than you meant to as you come down the next incline. We barely know each other.
That happens all the time, though, she says. I'll make it worth your while.
Here now, the welfare fellow says, which is just as well, as it covers up for your furious blushing and coughing fit. None of that.
Your friends back there were looking for things in the ruins, weren't they? The troll goes on, heedless of her handler's complaints.
You admire her moxie quite a bit.
You'll need my help for the best bits. I've found them already.
You wish you weren't driving. You keep wanting to just drop everything and stare at her. You've been digging up the old fort?
There were all sorts of interesting things there, she says, and I took the best ones. There's coins, harness bits, I think some pieces of an old rifle.
She hesitates a moment.
A couple of skulls, too.
The welfare fellow clears his throat. You can't hold those things hostage, he says.
You frown.
That's rather a harsh way of putting it, don't you think? You say. I think a bit of bargaining is a clever move for a girl in a tricky spot. You think of some of the movies you've seen. Of course, if you try to get me to fall for any sort of booby traps, all bets are off.
She giggles, and gosh darn it, you're actually thinking about whether you could give her a home.
I promise I'll disarm all the booby traps, just for you. You're coming into town now, and the welfare fellow doesn't look like he approves at all. But it sounds like such a grand adventure. You have that ranch you inherited from your grandmother. There would be plenty of room there for a troll to run around, wouldn't there?
That sounds like an offer a gentleman couldn't refuse, you tell her. You can call me Jake, by the way.
She grins at you, and all of her teeth are sharp as the dickens, and you don't mind a bit.
I'm Aradia, she says.
It's a lovely name. The end.